Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 12th of March. Yesterday, President Barack Obama signed the $410 billion spending package that includes billions of dollars in earmarks. He said that it was an imperfect bill, and he promised to curb in those earmark spending provisions. He said that the bill must signal an end to the old way of doing business. The measure funds federal agencies through the fall, and it contains some 8,000 pet projects known as earmarks and denounced by critics as pork. I am signing, he said, an imperfect omnibus bill because it's necessary for the ongoing functions of government, but I also view this as a departure point for more far-reaching change. We're going to be talking about the change that he envisions and about this bill that will keep the government going through next fall. Our guest has joined us before. Professor Ernest Goss is with us. He's the McAllister Chair in Regional Economics at Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska, and he has written extensively about economic forecasting and on the statistical analysis business and economic data. We'll be welcoming phone calls from you during this hour, as we always do, and the phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655 for you to join our conversation, or send an email if you'd like, and that address is talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Professor Ernest Goss, hello. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, Kathleen. Good to be with you.
Yeah, nice to have you here again. So the president called this an imperfect bill. Would you agree with that assessment? Is it imperfect, or should he have even signed it?
Oh, I think, first off, I do think it's imperfect, but most of the bills are imperfect. If we're looking for perfection, we'd never get anything signed. Should he have signed it? I think not. I would have liked to have seen at least a little bit of pressing some of his colleagues in both Republican and the Democrats to cut out some of the earmarks. So I would have liked to have seen that. But I guess all in all, it wasn't quite as bad as it could have been.
Mm-hmm. And how many earmarks in this bill do you think are unnecessary? I gave the figure of 8,000 pet projects. Could half of those be cut, do you think?
Boy, that's a good question, Kathleen. And boy, I don't think anyone really knows the answer to that. And certainly some of those, I mean, for example, the two that have been really hammered on, of course, are eliminating hog odor and at least doing that, doing some experimentation on eliminating hog odor. That's often identified. And also the tattoo removal, but that was only $210,000. Mm-hmm. So those are two that have been spotlighted, but I'm not even certain those two are, one could argue, at least to some degree, those are not bad spending. They're probably more egregious items even in the budget than the earmarks that we haven't really seen and talked about, because it was passed very quickly. And that's one of the concerns I have over that last year and a half, starting with Bear Stearns, Bear Stearns failure, or at least the Bear Stearns combining last year, going out of business, to right now. Everything is on fast forward. We're not examining anything. We're getting things signed and behind closed doors, and I don't think that's good. The president signed this bill, $411 billion, without really much sunlight on it.
Mm-hmm. He talked, though, about the fact that this process needs to be much more transparent, that lawmakers need to be held accountable. There has to be a website that says what this project is and how much money will be going toward that project. Has this been an in-secret project for a long time, or can you get most of this material?
Well, it has been somewhat secretive in the fact that he signed it without behind closed doors. In other words, he did not sign it out front and face questions from the press. So that's somewhat troubling. But I have to say I'm not certain I blame him for that, because it's probably difficult for him to explain some of the earmarks. I think there is a need for more transparency, and the president has indicated that he will move for more transparency, and I hope that's the case, because the press is really the real most vigilant in pointing out some of the problems with the budget, and we don't know a lot of the problems until after the plan has been passed.
Mm-hmm. He talked about any earmark for a private company should be subject to competitive bidding rules. Has that not been the case, and would you agree that it should be subject to competitive bidding?
Oh, I do agree it should be subject to competitive bidding, and it has not been the case always. A lot of the earmarks are, in fact, just that, earmarked to one specific company, and that has gone on for some time, and I think it probably will continue to go on. I applaud President Obama for his at least moving in that direction, but I'm a bit cynical of whether it'll actually happen or not.
Mm-hmm. And some have said that when you look at the amount of money for earmarks, it actually, in the total scheme of things, is not that much money, is it?
Oh, it's not much at all. We're talking, less than 1% in certain years. So it's very, very small. But I think it does, unfortunately, provide some skepticism. I mean, citizens become cynical about paying their taxes. I think the real problem is the message it sends out to the citizens of what's going on in our government. Even though it is small, I think it does provide at least a lot of cynicism about our government and the processes, and I don't think that's good.
Mm-hmm. He also talked about the fact that he had to sign this yesterday because it was necessary for the ongoing functions of government. Would it have fallen apart, government, in terms of spending until September if he had not signed this, or could he have fixed it?
I think he could have fixed it. I think President Obama has been almost absent in his working with Congress. In other words, he sort of turned it over to Pelosi and Reid and said, well, I'll sign whatever you send up here. Now, that's not what he said, but that's effectively what's been happening. In other words, I think he could have intervened early on and cut out some of the earmarks and provide a more slimmed down budget. Now, as you said earlier, eliminating all the earmarks would have not been that much of a billion. It would not have been that many billions of dollars, but I think, again, it sends a message to citizens out there that to pay their taxes, and their taxes are going to at least good usage, and earmarks are always something that citizens, at least those not receiving the earmarks, are cynical of or skeptical of. And when you see earmarks going, you're in New York and you see earmarks going to Iowa, there's some skepticism, cynicism, and some anger.
Yeah. You know, if I lived in Iowa, in parts of Wisconsin and parts of the Midwest, I might be concerned about hog odor.
Oh, absolutely. And if you've driven by those areas, but again, it's just it provides fodder for the talk shows. It provides the evening news and so on. And again, I just think it opens everybody up to saying, well, look what government's doing again, and we're looking at a government that's increasing in size. I mean, since November the 4th, after the elections, the stock market has said, well, we don't really agree with this larger government, because we know we're getting a larger government, and that's to some degree what voters voted for on November the 4th. But investors have said ever since then via the stock market, that they're less pleased with this movement toward a larger government. And when it includes these a lot of earmarks, that's even more troubling for a lot of voters.
Mm-hmm. And yet some of the earmarks, I would think most of the American people would agree that more money, particularly in this economic downturn, needs to go for food aid for the poor, energy research, a lot of money is going for that, and other kinds of programs that I would think most people would say, yeah, we want these.
Absolutely, but again, it's hard when you have these tack-ons for various senators and various congressional representatives tacking it on and not getting the full light. In other words, the real problem with this is it doesn't really get the real going over that you'd like to see, the real scrutiny that you'd like to see from the Congress and from the president. Again, the president was President Obama was absent on this. He did not do what I think he should have done, which is intervene and make sure that at least the earmarks, if there are any, that there are some that could stand the light of day and wouldn't be laughter for the evening talk shows.
Mm-hmm. The press secretary Gibbs told reporters yesterday that the 2009 spending bill represents last year's business. What do you make of that?
Well, that's true, but the earmarks don't represent last year's spending, and that's absolutely the case. But the real arguments are not so much with the budget; it's more with the earmarks, and that's where the real criticism is coming. And those earmarks are not last year's; that's this year's. Those were tacked on, and President Obama, and when he was running for office, said, "Hey, no more earmarks. We're gonna go line by line." Well, he did not go line by line, or if he did, he punted on that because he should have. I think he should have vetoed the bill, sent it back to Congress, and sent a loud message out there that I am standing firm on this. I said no earmarks. I meant no earmarks. Well, he said no earmarks, but I didn't really mean that. Mm-hmm. I think that's a bad message.
What about the process, though? It seems to me as though there must be some good, because obviously we send our representatives to Congress, and senators, members of Congress, know their districts or should know their districts fairly well, so that if there's an economic downturn hitting an area that's been suffering job losses because of the car industry or because of some other kind of industry, workers may need retraining, and so there would be money put into the budget to retrain workers in Janesville, say, which is one of the issues here in Wisconsin. I mean, isn't that part of the good part of this process?
Oh, absolutely, but it should have been in the overall bill, not the earmarks. In other words, so it could have been scrutinized by the full Congress and come forward, not as a tack on. So, because again, the Bush proposed as you said, this is the second half of the Bush administration's spending plan, and it should have been added on to begin, and not an earmark. So if indeed, as you say, there are many spending proposals needs that should be in there, but it shouldn't be an earmark. It should be part of the budget, not an earmark.
Mm-hmm. It's also interesting, though, that people who complain about these earmarks are also people who put the earmarks in the process at the last minute, right? Many of them do.
Oh, absolutely, I'm certain that many of President Obama's closest allies in the Congress were some of those that put the most in there. So it's a lot of it, as you say, comes from this part of the country, but a lot of it goes to all parts of the country. There probably are very few areas that aren't positively affected by earmarks. But again, the nation, in my view, is negatively affected by the earmarks.
We're going to welcome phone calls, and we'll start taking them in a moment. A couple lines are open for you. Our guest this hour is Professor Ernest Goss. He is the McAllister Chair in Regional Economics at Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska. We're talking about the bill that President Obama signed yesterday, calling it an imperfect spending bill. It must end, he says, the old way of doing business, $410 billion spending package that will keep us going through September. And it includes a number of earmarks, nearly 8,000 projects, many people have denounced those. And our guest says the president should have not signed the bill and dealt with this issue of earmarks right away. What do you think? Here's our number again, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Should you want to send us an email, that would be okay, too. And that is talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we go to your phone calls now, 800-486-8655. Jim from Winneconnie is our first caller. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you doing?
All right, how are you?
Good. We have to remember that this is Bush's stimulus plan that Obama really didn't want to sign. He had his arms tied in doing it. There was 32 Republicans that voted against this bill. Out of those 32, 28 of them have outstanding earmarks of their own. McCain was running on killing the earmarks, not Obama. Obama was just saying that he's going to be going through all of these bills line by line. If he wouldn't have signed it, government would have shut down. And everyone knows that it's really not easy starting up government again. It's like starting an old train. This is the thing. Hypocrisy is the word here for the Republicans. I love that Obama is pointing out and exposing all of these Republicans for who they are so that we can decide who to vote for in 2010.
All right, thanks for your call. Professor Goss.
Well, I disagree. Mr. Obama, if President Obama had vetoed this, he could have worked with Pelosi and Reid and eliminated the earmarks and come out with a bill. There would not have been a shutting down of the Congress as we had during when the Republicans did that to Clinton during the Clinton administration. That would have not happened. In that case, you had Republicans in the Congress, and you had the Clinton the Democrats in the White House. In this case, you've got both parties controlling the administration, the House and the Senate. So we would not have had a government shutdown. What we again line by line, and President Obama did say that he had the opportunity, he had the chance to show some resolve here. If he had vetoed it, we could have eliminated those earmarks very quickly. But as your caller said, this is not a Republican-Democrat earmarks and for Democrats and none for the Republicans. Both the Democrat and Republicans put this into the bill. But Mr. Obama could have eliminated that, but he chose not to.
Do you know what kind of process we're going to need to go through? He talked yesterday and said that if my administration evaluates an earmark and determines that it has no legitimate public purpose, we will seek to eliminate it, and we will work with Congress to do so. How does this process go forward? Can he veto some of this? Could he have vetoed some of these items line by line? And in order to change the whole system, how does Congress participate in this process?
President Obama could have done that. Now, he could have worked with Congress early on, and this is my real criticism. President Obama sort of punted. He punted on the $787 billion stimulus plan in that he didn't really get in there and fight for this or that. And he said effectively to Representative Pelosi, come up with something and I'll sign it. And now that's certainly not what he really said, but effectively that's what happened. And we're not getting President Obama is not working with Congress to come up with his own plan, and thus what you have is this everybody getting in, both Republicans and Democrats, and adding in what they wish to get. And I certainly can't blame them if President Obama is saying, well, I'll sign. He essentially sent the message early on that he would sign whatever came up there, certainly if it's not really that egregious, and that's what we got. He has to go in there and get more working with Congress and taking very aggressive steps to eliminate things that we just saw.
Jeff, thanks very much for the call. Let's go next to Larry from Madison. Hi, Larry.
Thank you. The guest is saying, in effect, that President Obama should have made sure that the 1% or 2% of the earmarks that are in the budget bill were not in the bill. The guest is assuming that Obama could have done this, but this is easier said than done. Congress would have perhaps fought for those earmarks much harder than the guest realizes. Congress could have argued that, after all, it's Congress' prerogative to put things into a bill. They could have gotten lost in a tangle of arguments over separation of powers and the fact that Congress is a separate, co-equal branch. And I know that this bill started last year. Some of the earmarks were put in last year. Others, it's true, were put in this year. But we have a new administration here that can ill afford to get bogged down in a battle that the guest would have had the president fight. At most, Obama could have eliminated some proportion of this remaining 1% or 2% of earmarks, but not all of them. People would have said he failed, that he was weak. Could have been a battle that after 2 or 3 or 4 weeks showed minimal results. And in the business of politics, if one is perceived as weak, he is weak. And this could have done dealt a body blow to the president in terms of his power, in terms of dealing with the multitude of issues we all have before us. We need this new administration to get off to a strong start, which it is, but it's just finding its legs. It's not even fully staffed yet. And if you want a lesson on how a president can run into a brick wall trying to take pork out of budgets, take a look at what happened to Jimmy Carter. Listeners not familiar with it, they might want to see a book by Mark Reisner entitled Cadillac Desert, dealing with one of the biggest pork institutions of all time, that is the Army Corps of Engineers. So I think it's a matter of judgment. I respect the guest's view on this, but I think that getting the remaining earmarks out of that bill would have been a battle royal, which Obama was wise to avoid. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. He makes some good points, Professor Goss.
Oh, absolutely. But I think it would have shown a greater strength to stand up and veto it. Now, as your listener said, there would have been some issues in terms of creating a sense, potentially a turmoil that we don't want to see. But I think if he had stood up, President Obama had stood up and vetoed this, that would have sent a bigger message, and I think it would have sent a message of strength. I think President Obama, has sent a message of weakness out thus far. Weakness in the sense of the stimulus. He did not take part to any great degree in the formulation of the stimulus package, $787 billion, and that was this year's bill. And then he took not enough of an ownership of what's going on the second half of the Bush bill. I think the president had the opportunity to take part in this, and he chose not to. Not only that, in the signing, he signed behind closed doors. I think, again, the president is, in my judgment, is exhibiting not strength but weakness in this regard. And I think, as your caller said, the Obama administration has started off to some degree exhibiting strength, but not in the budget process.
Mm-hmm. And yet, there will be those who say that he had to get the stimulus package passed. He needed three Republicans to do that. He needed to make some compromise in order for this to be a bill that would be signed that would make some difference in this country that would be considered success.
Oh, I think so. There's certainly every indication that President Obama needed to push forward a stimulus package. But there was a stimulus package last year in the Bush administration. We don't even talk about the lack of effectiveness of that. Now we're talking about the Obama stimulus package, and a lot of it is not stimulus. That's my problem with the stimulus package, is that there was too much in the out years, meaning not stimulative, but change in priorities, which I think should have gone into the budget, not the stimulus package. In other words, what's going to be spent in the years 2010 and beyond in the stimulus package. It should have been more stimulus and less of the really transformational changes that should have, in my judgment, should have been part of budgets, not part of the stimulus package.
I'm still wondering what happened to the TARP money. Do you know?
Oh, well, for example, how about this? AIG got $180 billion. Today, AIG is worth about $1.6 billion. So the government, and that was both the Bush administration, $150 billion, the Obama administration, $30 billion so far, thrown at AIG, which is now worth about 1/180th of what the government has in that company. So there's a heck of a lot of spending going on, and that's one of the problems that I see is we're told daily we've got to do this quickly, we've got to do it now, and we're not getting the scrutiny that we need. There are processes that are being violated by both the Bush administration and by the Obama administration. Now we had Paulson, Bernanke, now Geithner, and Lawrence Summers all pushing these things forward. and they're not getting the scrutiny simply because we've got to do it today. We have to have this now. The government, the entire economy is failing, it's falling. I don't agree. I think there are processes in place that we need to be following.
Larry, thanks for the call. Jim from Eau Claire is our next caller. Hi, Jim.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm incensed about this. President Obama, in October, you know, during the debates, he did in fact say, I would go through line by line and there would be a change here. And I believed him. And this is what I get. He didn't do anything. And as far as whether you would have been successful or not, to me, it goes to a question of integrity. The person said he was going to do something, and then when it came time to do it, he simply didn't do it. That's my view of it.
Professor Goss.
Well, I certainly agree with the caller in that regard. And what I'm concerned about is the budget next year, the 2009-2010 budget, which is right now I'm expecting it to be about $1.8 trillion in deficit spending. And I hope we get more involvement by the Obama administration in crafting this bill. Otherwise, we'll have a lot more pork in that bill, whether it's earmarks or whether it's actual excessive spending within the bill. We've got to have more administration involvement. We've got to have them pulling out some of this spending that should not be done. Again, $1.8 trillion. We're talking about the government now. The size of the government now will be the largest that we've seen since the Second World War in terms of percent of our overall economy. Certainly there's a need for government involvement right now. There's a need for greater government involvement, but does it need to be that level of involvement? I say no.
Thank you, Jim, very much for your call. And we go next to Mike. Mike is calling us from Appleton. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, good morning. A few quick comments. It seems to me that President Obama has abdicated to the Congress, and I think he had an incredible opportunity, given his popularity rate, to be able to do basically whatever he wanted, you know, like put Congress on notice, put him on call, and lead. But I think he's shown incredible weakness and perhaps too much political calculation. I see two problems there. I'm a micro businessman, but I have the potential of hiring, you know, three or four people for my own business. And I probably represent, you know, several million people out there like me who have that potential. But, you know, I see this president wavering, and, you know, I see business as usual. And, I'm not going to hire anybody until things clear up. And that is a huge problem because, you know, I could hire, but I ain't going to. So, you know, I think that's a fundamental problem. Zero confidence because he's wavering. I see him as being weak. And that takes me to another concern because, you know, the world is looking at us, people like Syria and Iran, and, you know, we're talking to them. I don't know what we're saying to them. But, you know, they're looking, well, you know, how is this working? What is this guy? Where's the metal?
And what would you like for him to be doing that he's not, Mike?
If I were him and I had 90% approval rating, I go to the American public and say, look, Congress as usual is screwing it up. This is what's got to be done. You know, I'm going to go ahead and do it. There's no political calculation here. I'm in favor of getting the country going and moving.
But he has to work with Congress.
I don't think so. I really don't. I think Congress, what is Congress's approval rating? 10%, 15%? I mean, you know, you ask the average Joe on the street, who's Nancy Pelosi? They probably don't have a clue. But they know who Obama is, and they know that he has, you know, huge popularity. He could really put him up against the wall, but he hasn't demonstrated the strength to do it.
Professor Goss.
Oh, I like Mike's term to abdicated. That's certainly what happened, and that is my concern. But it goes even deeper than that for me and perhaps for your caller as well, is the lack of clarity, the lack of taking a position and sticking to it. Now, of course, there has to be some flexibility, but I think there's been so much flexibility that we have 435 members of Congress seeing this as a great opportunity to add on what they they wish, and then the 100 senators as well. So we've got 535 budget makers up there. I think we need one budget maker in this case, at least to get to outline and frame the priorities and cut out the earmarks. President Obama could have vetoed this bill out front and made a very public statement. I think that would have been very positive, as your caller indicated. And his approval rating is about 20 times what that is of Congress. He could have taken it. And I have to say, I would have saluted him for that. And I'm sorry he did not do that.
Thanks very much for your call. We go next to Craig, and Craig is calling from Green Bay. Hi, Craig.
Yes, hello.
I can't hear you very well, Craig. Can you get closer to your phone?
Yeah, just a minute. Let me take the speaker off.
That's a good idea.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay. I just a comment and then a question. I'm willing to give President Obama the benefit of the doubt. I think he didn't want to put up a fight at this point over earmarks for a continuing budget. But he has stated that next time, and maybe he's going to put more of a stand on it, and maybe some people will call that a cop-out. But I think it was a smart thing to do. That's just a personal opinion. And then my other statement is, since we sort of admit your guest admits that some of your marks are good, and they do good. But I worked on a project here in Wisconsin as a thesis student for an earmark from Senator Cole for 3 years to try to find solutions to non-point agricultural pollution.
Mm-hmm.
And that money was badly needed to get scientists working to find solutions to this problem, which, you know, hurts our waterways. And it was a good thing, and it went on for 3 years. So my question is if some earmarks are good, which apparently they are, why is it that they're earmarks, and is it, rather than in the budget process where your guest said they have more scrutiny, why are even the good earmarks an earmark? Is it an expedient type thing? It just gets done faster that way, or?
Yeah, that's a good question. Why is it, Professor Goss?
Well, I think exactly that. It gets less scrutiny. It sort of highlights the representatives working for his or her constituency. I think there are lots of motivations for earmarks. And we were told that we would see fewer of them, and in fact, we would. President Obama promised to go line by line. And to some degree, in some cases, earmarks come up after the budget. We've gone through the budget process. In other words, the Bush budget, which was advanced last year, some of the needs for earmarks came about since then. So there are some reasons why you might have earmarks. But again, I think the cost of having them far outweigh the benefits. There are good earmarks that do create value. But I think the cost of those earmarks far outweigh that by signaling to the taxpayers out there, to signaling to small business owners or large business owners that their tax dollars are being wasted. Even though, again, back to the seemingly wasteful spending on eliminating hog odor, that is certainly, one could argue, that's a good spending earmark, perhaps. But again, it does send a signal out there that everything, that things have not changed, that change we can believe in is just not there. President Obama, again, could have been much more aggressive here. He had a great opportunity to put his stamp on change in Congress, change that in Washington, and he chose not to do it.
What do you think the response would have been if he had vetoed this in terms of being able to fund the government? We've been through this before in this country. In terms of being able to fund the government through September, would it not have thrown things into more chaos than we're already experiencing?
I don't think so, Kathleen. The last time this happened, you had Democrat in the White House and you had Republicans in Congress, Newt Gingrich. And certainly Mr. Clinton defeated them, in at least in the eyes of the public. And I think in this case, President Obama would have definitely prevailed in this case. And I think Ms. Pelosi would have relented. I do think, and I don't think it would have been anything like a shutdown in the government that we would have had. We would have, the Congress, I think, would have accepted it. Now, there would have been, it would have cost President Obama, at least with some congressional representatives, with some senators, but he has the approval rating. He's the one that we're all saluting. We're all looking for leadership. And in this case, he did not give us leadership. He fell in behind the Congress, behind the Senate.
Thanks very much for your call. And we go next to Paul from La Crosse. Hi, Paul.
Yeah, you know, one of the things about leadership is having the wisdom to know what you can change and what you cannot change, and you don't waste your efforts on things you cannot change. And that's exactly what Obama did here. I mean, let's face it, 6 weeks on the job, and you expect him to act like FDR in his third term. I mean, that's not smart. He did the smart thing here. This was the Congress, you know, if you're unhappy, go talk to Dave Obey. Dave Obey had his hands in this, and he knew exactly what he was doing. He was able to get something passed that keeps government going. And at this particular crisis, no, we can't afford a shutdown. We can't afford to have guys dueling over 2% of the budget. I mean, we're not talking about 98% of the budget. That part's fine. But would you want him to go to war to go to the mattresses on is 2% of the budget. It would also be nice if some of the senators and congressmen who had voted, you know, who had voted against this bill, but at the same time had packed it full of their own pork. There's so much duplicity here on the part of Congress to say, oh, this is a terrible bill, and at the same time saying, don't forget my special project.
Yeah, right. There is some hypocrisy.
Yeah, I think that President Obama and I hope, Professor, you come back in 1 year, because I'm going to remember your name, and I'm going to ask Wisconsin Public Radio to invite you back, and we'll discuss the budget that is passed this coming fall, and then you can have your point.
We'll invite him back before then, probably. Professor Goss.
Well, thanks, Kathleen. I'm sounding like a broken record, I know, but the symbolism is important here. And I do think it was worth going to the mat on. And I don't think he would have had, President Obama would have had to go to the mat to say no, no, no. And I do think that President Obama has not been involved enough in the budget process and has not cracked heads in the Congress, which I think he should have. And I do think if I'm invited back next year to your program, that we're going to be talking about the excessive spending. We're going to be talking about inflationary pressures. We're going to be talking about higher interest rates because of a lack of restraint in our government, a lack of restraint from the Obama administration, the House Democrats and the House Senate and the Republican House and the Republicans in the Senate as well.
Here's an interesting email. Robin from Sherwood. Wouldn't it make sense, Professor Goss, to go to a system where earmarks would be totally banned? Instead, the government would take 1% of the budget in earmarks and grant each state a share of it based on population. If a state doesn't get enough for a large project, they just have to wait 2 or 3 years to have enough money to spend on the project.
No, that's certainly would at least to make it more transparent, and it makes it out front. And of course, that does. But the problem with that, of course, is that the congressional representatives, the senators, are not allowed to then gain local to help their constituency, particular constituency, not all the constituents, certain constituents, where they can target and actually pay back some of their campaign contributions. If you wish to really be cynical, and I think citizens out there are very cynical of government. And this, again, takes it to continues what we've seen in the past. In other words, President Obama is really not doing anything much different than we've seen in the past, although I have to say he has not been as involved in the budget process. He hasn't been in there working with Congress. And I think one of your earlier callers said, well, he didn't want to waste his capital on this. I think he should have. I think this was a great opportunity. And I think he had a great opportunity in the stimulus package, $787 billion. It was basically a Pelosi-Reid stimulus package.
Well, he did have quite a bit of involvement in the overall budget process. we're seeing, some have said, you know, the charges of socialism have come up, but charges that he's changed the government and moving it in a whole new direction. So you can't say that wasn't involved in that whole process, can you?
Well, I do to some degree, Kathleen. It was a Pelosi. It reflected a lot of what Pelosi wanted. I just didn't see enough involvement. Now, of course, he had the opportunity to veto or not veto it, and he let it go, and it did reflect a lot of what he wanted, of course. But I think it reflected a lot of what everybody wanted. That's it's certainly more of the Democrats than the Republicans, but even the Republicans certainly added on and made the $787 billion larger than I think it should have been.
More phone calls in just one moment. We're talking about the president yesterday signing the bill. He said it was an imperfect bill, $410 billion, and this is to fund the government, keep it going through September. It has a lot of earmarks, 8,000. There are some who are suggesting, including our guest, that he should have made a strong point here, that earmarks are not the way to go and should have vetoed this bill, and we're talking about whether or not that would have been a wise course for him to follow. So here's the number. And there is one line open for you right now, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, or send an email if you would like, and that is talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up the second hour of our program today, we'll be speaking with a documentary filmmaker about Fields of Fuel. The film looks at the use of biofuel. So that's coming up. All right. We did have an email, and this would actually – where did I put that piece of paper? Somebody who wondered about where you can go to find out where all the earmarks are, and we do have a website for you. So as soon as I find the sheet, I'll let you know. Let's go back to phone calls for Professor Goss. 800-486-8655 is our number, 800-486-8655. Email is talk@WPR.org. Professor Ernest Goss is the McAllister Chair in Regional Economics at Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska. And let us go next to Marilyn from Appleton. Hi, Marilyn.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling to say that I totally agree with the professor, and your previous callers, Jim and Mike, pretty much said what I was thinking as well. I'm a huge supporter of President Obama. I want him to succeed, but I was so disappointed to learn that he signed this bill behind closed doors and knowing it was full of earmarks. He did say, I heard it this morning on a news program, watched him say, in campaign speeches, that there would be no more earmarks. That was such a big thing for both my husband and I, and we were very disappointed to learn that he went back on that promise.
Professor Goss?
Well, I think we're all sort of saying it over and over again, and I hope in this regard, I hope this does not signal President Obama's process to the 2009-2010 budget, which again is we're going to see more details of that going forward. He has got, and his administration has got to become more involved in the budget process going forward, and I do expect some of that. But what we've got, for example, in the budget going forward, we're going to, for example, cap subsidies on farms that have more than $500,000 in revenue. That's one of the early proposals that I'm reading about. I'll bet you that Congress is going to take that out, and I think there's at least some merit in that proposal. But that's one, for example, that what we're hearing now is that the Congress is going to drive right over President Obama and get what they want, and President Obama again will perhaps relent. And I think that's sending the wrong message. He needs to send a message of strength, which he does have. He has the strength right now. Congress, as one of your earlier callers indicated, the popularity of Congress, they hardly have any capital to be going up against President Obama. He should have provided more leadership here, and I hope he does in terms of the 2009-2010 budget. We need to see that.
I completely agree. I wanted to ask a question, too, if I could. Are earmarks and pork the same thing?
Well, that's a good question. The earmarks and pork are not the same necessarily, but that's the problem President Obama faces, that we've connected the two. Earmarks they're often not pork. If we talk about pork being excessive spending on useless or not as effective projects that aren't effective. So unfortunately for President Obama, the two have been connected. They are identified as the same. And as your earlier callers, Kathleen, indicated, there are some good earmarks. They're not all pork. However, that's the problem President Obama faced. They've been connected now. This really weakens his presidency, in my judgment.
You see, I saw his campaign differently. I know that Senator McCain was campaigning against earmarks, against pork. It seems to me as though President Obama was campaigning for a reform of the process, and that's what he has talked about. He talked about it yesterday as well, that he wants to make sure that there is transparency here. I don't think I've ever heard him say, let's get rid of this process.
I think you're right, Kathleen, but it's now become so big and so large, and it's been looming for some time. It was a much bigger issue with Senator McCain. He's now charged on. This has given Mr. McCain life again. He's out there all of a sudden campaigning. Mm-hmm. He's going on with the campaign of last October, and it's really hurting the Obama presidency. To some degree, I agree with what you're saying, Kathleen, but not now in the public. The public sees this as business as usual, and even though, as you say, he talked more about transparency, he talked about more about going over the budget process, not so much about earmarks. In fact, in one of the debates, there was President Obama actually said at the time, well, earmarks are sort of a small part of the overall process, which is true. He actually said those words in a debate with Mr. McCain.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Marilyn, very much for your call. Let's go to Jim next from Milwaukee. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Joel McNally in the Shepherd Express, for people from eastern Wisconsin, has a good article this week called In Defense of Earmarks. And I think the key thing in this whole discussion is, what is each earmark actually allocated for, and does it make sense? And also, is there some accountability about it? Three quick points. First off, McNally points out that under the Republicans, when they had control of Congress, they did a lot of midnight amendments where you could put in anonymous earmarks into the budget. But now every earmark has the person's name next to it, so people can be held accountable. Secondly, there are situations where it sounds funny, but it turns out to be related to a real problem. Pig waste is a big problem in Iowa, but there are a lot of jobs and a lot of work that comes out of the corporate pig farms. And so Tom Harkin has an earmark which deals with the smell of the pig waste, which was characterized as a situation where you couldn't even go outside for a week in some areas in Iowa. So it's a real problem, and to sustain the business, people have to deal with it. And finally, sometimes unwillingness to spend money is penny wise and pound foolish. Way back in September of 28th of 2008, the Bush administration cut $8 million, which was used to test the levels of pesticides in fruits, vegetables, and field crops, saying that the $8 million a year was too expensive. But this was helping prevent cancer-causing chemicals from being put into the environment. So each project or earmark has to be evaluated on its merits.
Professor Goss.
Oh, I agree, but the real problem here is not whether the earmarks are good nor bad. As you indicated earlier, Kathleen, the size are they're relatively small. The problem is how it portrays the Obama administration going forward, because earmarks are initially ways of indicating ownership of cattle, hogs, and so on in agriculture. Well, quite the opposite now. Earmarks, we can hardly identify who has them. In fact, I would say all the earmarks are now President Obama's, even though he certainly did not insert any of them in there. But he now owns them because he failed to veto this bill. I do think that's a huge problem, even though, again, a lot of the earmarks were necessary, a lot of them are good, but the overall how the citizens see it, how voters see this going forward is not good. It shows, in my judgment, at least on this one issue, a lack of leadership on President Obama's part.
How long have we been allowing the earmark process to go on? Is it long?
Well, I don't know, Kathleen, how long we've been seeing this. It's just now, over the last decade or so, the earmarks have been highlighted. I don't know how long they've been part of our budgeting process. Or, well, actually, they're not part of the budget process. They're added in by mm-hmm. particular congressional representatives and senators. But in this case, they're increasing in magnitude, and that's certainly a problem. Each year, they're growing in importance, and it does produce a great deal of cynicism from citizens, and it produces a heck of a lot of fodder for the late night talk shows on television. That's certainly a big part of it for them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Professor Goss, for being with us. We'll talk to you again.
Oh, thanks, Kathleen. Good to be on with you.
Our guest, Professor Ernest Goss, he's the McAllister Chair in Regional Economics at Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska. And we did have an email asking if there was a website that you can use to see who has created earmarks, and there is such a website. So you can go to taxpayer.net, and then you, once you get there, click on earmarks, and you'll get some info. So that's it for the first hour of our program today. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour, to John Treader for on-air production, and to Rob Schroeder for checking emails for us, and also, thanks for your calls. News will be coming up in a moment, and we'll have more Thursday morning conversations. So stay here, and we'll talk about biodiesel. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.